Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this return edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. Thanks for joining in, and we are a viewer-supported station, guys, so if you can help out at all, even a few bucks, it would be muchly appreciated by the stations. Thanks to Stephen Roberts, always, to help and producing my shows for me. And I have with me today the man I like to refer to as the Duracell Bunny. We'll call him Duracell Roger. I think that's the name I'm going to give him from now on. Roger Landry from the Liberty Beacons with me, my good friend. Today we've done how many shows in the last 6 or 7 years? Roger, I've lost count, but it's always a pleasure having you in, my friend.
Well, I know the number's probably in the hundreds, so.
What's up there?
Yep, you talk over. Like I said, over 6, 7 years, it's a goodly number. And it's always appreciated because when I come on your show, it's like almost uninterrupted spew. It's like almost uninterrupted rant. And anybody who doesn't know this, the one thing that Barry says to me prior to the show starting each time is, just please, Roger, let me talk for a couple of minutes, okay? Wait a minute. Have I got that wrong, Barry?
Well, it is my show, so I ask for a couple minutes every hour, Roger. But you know, that's it's all good. If I get a minute, I'm happy guy. Anyways, no, I know there's lots to talk about, buddy. So let you talk about what's on your mind first, because I know you got something you really want to share.
Well, again, what I do on your show is I get a chance to play what I call connect the dots, and as usual, I get ready to do a show, and my throat's all of a sudden. Irritated as hell, but it's going to be a lot more irritated before we're done here. I like to play what's called connecting the dots because people think that because this is happening over here and this is happening over here and this is happening over here, that what we have is three separate entities, three separate circumstances that have no connection to each other. But each one is vying for your attention. In a lot of cases, in far too many cases, we have come to realize, those of us who have been doing this activism over the last decade, have come to realize just how much bullcrap is thrown in our face on a daily basis. Whether it's Adam Schiff standing up in front of the entire United States and making up 90% of what he's presenting to the entire country, let me explain why that has any... I don't know why that has any bearing on this. What Mr. Schiff is doing at this point, okay, is literally destroying the democratic process in the United States. And it's not just Mr. Schiff. Of course, it's Mr. Nadler. It's Ms. Pelosi. It is the Democrats, the AOCs. This is what's happening. Now, all of a sudden, you see this big hoopla going on about a new virus, a coronavirus, okay? We got probably 1,000 confirmed cases of this. We've got probably, and I couldn't even guess, how many unconfirmed cases or what the propaganda is feeding out at this point. What you got to remember is that from SARS, I think 600 to 800 people died globally from SARS. SARS was put out as if this is the doom of humanity, blah, 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 on and on. This is what was going to happen. What most people don't understand is that the flu kills between, 500 and 650,000 people. Okay? Where is the massive rise up against flu? Where is it? The flu globally takes far more, we're talking magnitudes, above what we're being told is happening now with coronavirus. So who's benefiting from this? Want to bet you're going to start seeing vaccines appear all over the place? Want to bet that in some cases they may even be mandatory? If you want to go to school, if you want to go to work, if you want to go to blah, 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 okay, you're going to have to. Now, let's go back to what I said about the flu. Globally, the flu takes, I don't know, magnitudes above any of these viruses we have seen over the last 50 years, and we've had about a half a dozen scares globally. But nobody tells you that every year the flu, what everybody calls the common flu, takes magnitudes of lives above what any of these false starts have. Now, am I telling you that there couldn't be someday a huge issue that would be transmitted across the globe, blah, blah, blah? Absolutely. Do I think it could happen? Yes, I do think it could happen. Okay. When you start to beat the drum and you start to make national emergencies and you start to make global emergencies, when what you actually have is an infection rate and a death rate that pales in comparison to the regular normal global flu. But yet you pushed a global panic button. There will be hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars worth of, and this is very well going to happen, it's happened in the past, of vaccines. These vaccines are going to be rushed to the market and made available to everybody to try and minimize the impact on the planet. I don't need to have a flu shot to have my kids go to school. I don't need to have a flu shot in order to go to work. I don't need to have a flu, but you want to bet this is going to be, you're going to be forced into a position in a lot of cases where you do not have a choice. And again, the fatality rate and the infection rate on a global scale pales in comparison to the everyday flu. And that includes the death rate. Okay, so here we go again. The button is being pushed. Anybody out there has listened to me talk understands that I have stated on numerous occasions that every time a false flag event is done, there's usually crisis actors and they usually practice it prior to. And in most cases, right on the very grounds where it's going to take place. Anybody out there hear of, well, this is mostly funded by Gates and a couple of other really, really big globalists, Project 201, which was basically a run-through for the coronavirus, done very, very recently.
They've been talking about this one for a long time, Roger, and all of a sudden it's here. Look how fast it's come.
You're right, but what people need to understand is in the day of mass media and instant media, how effective is your media? How effective is your ability to just nudge this huge ship of humanity off its course onto a course you want it to? Okay? Absolutely. I'm going to tell you, war is wearing thin on people. Okay? Political strife is wearing thin on people. We'll get to that, okay, as in Trump's trial. The easiest and most successful way to nudge humanity in any direction left to what we call the elitist caste, the only mechanism that is truly effective almost immediately, are massive health scares. Mm-hmm. This is the leverage. What will that leverage be used for? It will be used to take away more of your rights. It will be used to enrich the big pharmaceutical companies who are the most powerful entities on this planet, okay? Spending, I don't know, 5 to 6 times on our, you know, buying our leaders as their next closest rival, which is the military-industrial complex. All of this seems to be tied together. Now, why would I tie all of this together? That's kind of a stupid statement, isn't it? Not exactly. Gary, you and I, on the last couple of years, we have been discussing bringing in the new world order, global governance slowly but surely encroaching on our lives and taking over our sovereignty. Then came Trump. Then came a few other leaders in Europe Then came Brexit. Then came, and now what you're seeing across this entire planet is a lot more people waking up to the fact that they like the fact that their country is their country. That they like the fact that they can decide who can storm across the border and who can't. They like the fact, and I could go on and on. So you have an elitist caste that has had about a 2.5-century plan that is getting derailed. So if you've got to put it back on the rails, if you've got to grab a hold of something, okay, that will give you some of that, I don't know, torque back, what do? You do a health crisis and you push everybody towards a globalist concept. This is spreading across the entire planet. The WHO will head this up. They will have powers granted to it by each government in order to extricate or to, I don't know, as quickly as possible, get this spread out amongst their. Are you catching my drift? If you can't do it this way, you can do it this way. The most effective mechanism left to this elitist caste is their ability to have these huge health crises. Now, let's go back to why did I say in the first place, okay? Why did I say this health crisis and all of this seems tied together? When did this start happening? When was the practice run? Stop and think of this, okay? What is happening now? Brexit's happening now. Okay, Trump's about to get acquitted. Everybody on the planet knows that. And going on and on. These individuals who felt they had ultimate control during the Clinton years, during the Daddy and Baby Bush years, have found out that people absolutely want something different. So it's time to push the panic button. Here we are. We've got a virus that is panicking the world, which has a death rate and a, mortality rate that is nowhere near the mortality rate of the common flu, but yet it is being made out to be something the entire planet needs to fear every single waking moment.
Absolutely, Roger. Listen to the mainstream media, the way they're playing this up right now. They've got people wanting to stay in their houses, and people are already stockpiling food and buying masks. They're going right off the shelf. It's being very effective in what they designed this to do. And then you got to look, like you said, at what the end game is of this all of a sudden killer virus showing up out of China. And where did it come from? And who's going to make the money? Follow the money. It'll tell you exactly where it's going, Roger. Big Pharma's going to be rich.
Let's talk about this just a little bit, okay? What's going on in China? Because that isn't what anybody thinks it is either, okay? Do I think that there is probably some sort of an infectious virus? Yeah. Isn't it a little bit uncomfortable out there for people who know what I'm about to tell you and haven't told anybody? Isn't it make you just a little bit uncomfortable that the facts are actually being hidden, okay, from people? All right. What I need to explain to people is that the Chinese government is very oppressive. You don't stand up against the Chinese government, okay? And they control the largest population of any nation on the planet. And they're pretty much in a rigid system where these people live in that particular province, in that city, in that area. They are suffering one of the highest levels of pollution concentrated on the planet, to the point where it's extremely unhealthy, and they have been protesting this. Okay, what did I just say? China, extremely oppressive government, protests against the government. Okay, now all of a sudden, you've got a company, a Chinese company, that comes in and rings that entire area with 5G antennas and transmitters. If that pollution contains the right chemicals, which it does, and you have a constant pulsing 5G blanketing the entire area, those chemicals that can do damage to the body, that ability to do harm is enhanced. Do your research. I never bullcrap. Barry will tell you. I don't challenge you to prove me wrong. I dare you to. So now we've got a province, okay, where you have a crap load of all of this stuff killing people, pollution, and there are protests, and now all of a sudden you have a total isolation of the community, a constant and continuous bombardment of 5G and G. I wonder what. I'm not telling you any of this is true. What I'm saying is, why aren't these facts being told to people? Why don't people understand that things are always, today, always something different than what you're told? If it comes from the mouth of a government, especially the top, the leader, the head, I don't care if it's Trudeau, I don't care if it's Trump, there are things they can and can't say, there are things they can and cannot imply. And again, it all ties back to national security. But what we're looking at right now is the facts. Don't back up a lot of what you're hearing. Again, the common flu is much deadlier than even the SARS was. And that was, remember SARS? That went across the whole planet. Everybody freaked. Okay, 600 to 800 people died. What, 800 times that many die each year from the flu? The common flu. And now what you have is a communicable disease requiring total isolation from a province in China that is rebelling, however slightly, against their government.
You ever got a big conspiracy hat on today, Roger?
I want you to tell me what part of that isn't true.
I'm just being facetious, Roger. Yeah. I'm listening to you, and I what you're talking about, it sounds far-fetched, but it isn't.
It does.
It really sounds like something out of Star Trek. As a matter of fact, I had a talk with Captain Kirk the other day, and he told me, he says, this new virus that's traveling around the world, he says, you know, they're going to force worldwide vaccination programs on people to save everybody. It's going to go crazy. And he says they're going to put something in that vaccine that's going to interact with some little frequency weapon they got put away, and they're going to zap us all. I said, Captain, are you sure? And he says, yeah, it sounds far-fetched, doesn't it? I said, yeah. So I thought I'd share that with you today, guys. Anyways, that was my conversation with Captain Kirk.
What Barry just basically did was explain something that I had already discussed not too long ago. I had discussed that the food you're eating contains nano-sized particles of aluminum. The air you're breathing, aluminum. The water you're drinking, aluminum. The underarm deodorant, the makeup you girls are using, aluminum. The vaccines, aluminum. When the brain of an Alzheimer's, and I also believe one with dementia, but I'm absolutely positive about the Alzheimer's issue, was dissected to see if they could figure out what part of the reasons were for this massive breakdown of this guy's ability to think due to Alzheimer's. And what they found when they sliced the brain open was that there was an inordinately large amount of aluminum in this individual's brain. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is no spot on this planet that does not get geoengineered. The whole planet gets geoengineered. And even if you say, well, they don't do it over the Pacific Ocean, they actually do, okay? But you also have to understand, if something is sprayed off the coast of Japan, it's going to end up on the west coast of the United States and Canada, okay? So now what you've got is everybody on the planet, not a joke, again, don't challenge you to prove me wrong, dare you to, okay? We all have an inordinately large amount of aluminum in our brains because a lot of it ends up there. The rest of your body can pretty much pass it through. There are ways, means, although it does collect in your joints and certain other parts of the body, but The brain, that's where it does the most damage because aluminum is extremely neurotoxic, but we aren't even going there. What Barry just discussed, okay, putting something in your vaccine so that this little frequency weapon they have, they can turn it on and they can zap us all. What Barry just said is absolutely 100% true, and the technology is available and has been available for at least a generation. And what am I talking about? I just got done explaining to everybody here that your brain is saturated with aluminum, far, far more than humanity has ever had. Of course, aluminum's only been a product for, what, the last 100 years. But, so why am I even hanging up on this? All of a sudden, there's a huge push, more by the military, and this is another thing you guys don't know. Do some research. The biggest push for 5G is the military, okay? And I'm talking global military, and I'm talking about the people behind the scenes that want the military. And why am I saying that? Okay. What you need to understand is that 5G is being pushed, and 5G is going to go up in just about every city on the planet. And what does it entail? I think one person said there's going to be like 20 million new antennas all across the planet. Let me explain something to you, and I've done this on a past show here with you, Barry, okay? We have what's called a phased array, which means that they can take all of those little antennas in a given area, and they can focus a beam through what's called a phased array of those antennas, and they can pretty much focus it anywhere they wish. What happens when you put an aluminum fork or a knife or even a steel one in a microwave and turn it on? All hell breaks loose, doesn't it? So now I'm telling you that a vast majority of humanity, and I mean a vast majority, has aluminum-saturated brains. Fact, not fiction. And now 5G will give them the ability to use a phased array to steer a beam of microwave frequency to any point they wish you. At that point, what do you think happens when a focused beam is set on you for about 2 or 3 minutes? What happens to the aluminum in your brain when it starts to superheat?
I smell something cooking, buddy.
Yeah.
If so you can tell, you the rock said, is cooking. They said that a few years ago, didn't they?
My point here is what you said wasn't a joke. And Barry, I think, said that intentionally to spark this conversation.
Of course he did, man. Yeah. Well, they do that a lot, don't they, Roger? They love to put it in front of our faces and call it entertainment. Like the zombie apocalypse, man. When we saw that movie, we were all going, oh, wow, that would be pretty. That's never going to happen. But what do you see walking through the mall now, man?
5G is already a reality, okay? The fact that we all have a lot of aluminum in our brains is already a reality, okay? The antennas going up all over the place, including the United States, just already stating they're going to put $9 billion into putting these antennas in the rural areas, so the farmers won't be safe either, okay? All of this technology, steerable beams, they've had that technology since the beginning of the 20th century. Phased arrays. I've been using phased arrays in the stuff I was doing for 20 to 30 years before I ever even started doing this. Everything that was discussed, the technology already exists. And if you for 1 second think that I can figure this out and other people have figured this out and the technology already exists, but we're quite safe from it because, hey, we can trust our leaders. They would never do anything to harm us. And if you believe that, you're a freaking idiot and you're listening to the wrong show. Okay. You wanted to talk.
Well, I was. What was I just thinking about? And then you got me off on. That happens when I listen to you talk, Roger. I had a thought in my brain. And then I get listening to what you're saying, and then I go back to my thought, and it's not there anymore. But, yeah. I mean, what's going to come up? I mean,
What?
How do we get off this planet? Like, where do you go now, Roger? You know, you can't even go hide anywhere anymore because they've got directed energy weapons, they got frequency weapons, they're spraying nano-sized particles in the air, and it doesn't matter where you go, man. You're breathing this stuff in. And if they have that kind of technology, can they put a radio transmitter in a nano-sized particle and put that inside your body? I don't know, but if they're at that point, then we got some serious problems, don't we?
I believe
they're almost at that point if they're not already there. We're talking science fiction.
They are there.
Reality.
Microchips can be injected into the body via vaccines or some sort of an inner fluid that, you know, you can inject into the body. Yes, tracking nanochips can be injected into the body. That already exists. Again, nothing I said, just because we connected all the dots and said, and we didn't tell you, did you hear me once saying this is what the government is doing? No, I ended my discussion with, if I know this and I know that it can happen factually, scientifically, if I know this, do you think nobody on the other side knows about this? And like I said, just because they have the ability to do this, and just because they're pushing so hard for that 5G, you know they only have our best interest at heart. They never do anything to harm us, ever.
No, they love us, Roger. You look anything. I mean, everything that I've ever looked at that the government has touched in my life, in our lives, has been nothing but beneficial to us. So I don't know what you're talking about, man. The government's my friend. That's what they tell me on. I watch CNN every night, man. And that's what they tell me, Roger, so I don't know, man.
I would tell you...
I'm beginning to wonder about you, my friend.
You're a person who said he doesn't particularly care that much for vaccines, which I find extremely hard to believe, considering CNN is, in fact, the known vaccine for reality.
but I can't remember any time, actually, Roger, I've watched mainstream media here. Once in a while, I'll make myself listen to CBC just so I know what the enemy is saying. But mainstream media, they don't get any of my attention anymore. But we should listen to what they're saying just so we're aware of the propaganda that's been put in front of people. CBC just did a poll in Canada here, and 87% of Canadians said they don't listen to CBC, Roger. Can you imagine that? 87% on the survey. And this is a survey done right by CBC, and they released the results. This is Trudeau's poster company, you know, the globalist state broadcasting corporation called CBC that got $1.3 billion from our government last year to put propaganda into our faces. Paying for our demise with our tax dollars. Isn't that great? They've got it all figured out, man.
Oh, you know what? I'm so glad stuff like that doesn't happen in America. I mean, could you imagine if we were in a situation where you're impeaching the President of the United States, the most resolute, the most serious thing that could possibly happen in this constitutional republic, and less than 30% of the American people pay it enough attention or give it enough credit to even watch it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We've long since lost all faith in the shifty shifts and Jabba the Nadler and Nancy Pussy.
Oh man, when I see that woman talk, it's like, I don't know, Roger. It's almost like I see an evil entity standing up there in a dress. I look at her eyes, and the way she talks, and her facial expressions. I can't even watch her, man. I had to force myself to watch that lady talk. Same thing with Schiff. I can't even listen to the guy talk because
say Barry.
He is a professional. Professional.
Barry.
Yes,
Barry.
Sir.
Can I add something?
You can go ahead, Steve. Sure.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I seen something maybe the other day or yesterday or something that said that there's some doctors that believe that Nancy Pelosi has, I think, end stage of what is it? Not senility, but the other one. Not Alzheimer's either, but...
Dementia?
Dementia, yes.
Imagine that. I don't know what she's got, man, but I wish she would just disappear. But anyways, go ahead, Roger. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Nancy Pelosi, that struck a note with me.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Huh?
Well, because you guys went away for about 30 seconds, I just now started to hear you talk again.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead, Roger. You mentioned Nancy Pelosi, and it struck a chord with me. It's like when people mention Justin Trudeau.
Steve, what did you say?
Oh, Trudeau, man, Roger. Did you
go ahead and tell him,
Barry.
Can you hear me, Roger?
Go ahead, Steve. Oh, yeah, Steve said something. Go ahead and say it again, Steve.
Can you hear me, Roger?
Yeah.
You can hear me.
I heard a report that there are some physicians that have been watching Nancy Pelosi, and they think she has end-stage dementia.
I would not have a whole lot of issue believing that. I don't know if it's quite end stage, but I do know that by listening to her talk, she cuts off halfway through a sentence. She starts to stutter. She can't even remember what she was saying in some occasions. She's told people, you know, it's nice to be here when in fact she's 2,800 miles away here. So it's not that hard to believe. What people need to understand about Nancy Pelosi is the reason why politicians like that are kept around is because they have name recognition, they have facial recognition. People understand who they are. Right about now, okay, the owners of these, what we jokingly call our political parties, okay, are trying to shake this off like a bad booger. Okay? Dead serious. Now, how does that match up to what you see up there, Barry?
What we're seeing in Canada right now is full-blown communist dictatorship running our country. What's going on up here, Roger, is it's got Canadians to a boiling point. I have never seen some of the stuff coming out of government that I've seen in the last 6 to 8 weeks out of this Liberal government.
Okay.
I'm just saying, they're ramping up the agenda. The same agenda I see going on in Europe right now is really, really ramping up in Canada.
It's ramping up in Canada. It's ramping up in Europe. It's going to be exacerbated in England because of Brexit in Britain. It's happening in Australia. It's happening in, and I could go on and on. What we are looking at is all of this pushback I was talking about, all of a sudden growing up all around the planet is actually what could be considered the most conservative generation born in centuries. And it is about, you know, again, nationality. It is about their ability to say what they feel, their ability to live a healthy life unencumbered by dictatorial or tyrannical governments. What we're looking at across the entire planet right now is that pushback. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm not a huge Trump fan, but I got to tell you something else. He doesn't deserve what he's getting, and he's done a hell of a lot more than any recent president that I know of, and I've been around for a few of them. But when, and you didn't hear me say if, when he gets reelected, the world's going to go nuts. That is going to shift what you're seeing going on this planet into high gear. I'm absolutely serious about that. So when I start to tell you what the most effective mechanism is for controlling or changing the course of a massive population, over 7.5 billion, and that the most effective means of accomplishing this is with massive health crisis. Let's face it, who isn't going to give up their rights to keep them and their kids from dying if they're told it's in the city next to you, by tomorrow you could all be on your way to the grave? Okay, what are you going to do? You're going to take your kids, you're going to do exactly what they tell you to do, you're going to take whatever vaccine they're going to tell you to take. What you are going to do is you're going to conform to a global organization's mandates. Exactly. What you have just done is all raised your hand, okay, from a foe okay, a false massive, and they will do everything they can to prove to have you think that this is a massive, okay, situation. Again, how many people die each year from the flu? Not one of these crises that we've had in the last 50 years comes even remotely close to the amount of people who die from the ordinary flu every single year. But you can't use that something so common, it's ridiculous, to scare people. You've got to use something new, something they've never seen before, something from a part of the world that's mysterious. It comes from a part of China that we know very little about, except that these Chinese live in an extremely polluted area, and they were talking about that. They were complaining about that, okay? And all of a sudden, they're surrounded by 5G, they're completely isolated, totally isolated, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not telling you there isn't a virus. What I am telling you is that there's a whole lot more to that scenario than you're being told. Why? Because it's convenient. It is a huge lever that is just now starting to appear. That lever won't be matured for another month or so until they can convince the entire world we're all going to die from the coronavirus.
Yep, and roll up your sleeve, folks. People will be lined up in droves, Roger. No question asked.
It's not so much about the vaccine they're going to get, although I would tell you that would be suspect to me from the very beginning. But it's not so much about the vaccine as the fact that you will do what you're told by a globalist organization that is now pulling the strings across the entire planet.
Yep. And this would allow them the opportunity to do that, Roger. This would be the perfect medical false flag hold-on society. We talked about this a little while ago, Roger. We both agreed that in the near future there was going to be some kind of false flag to bring society into line. And I think that was maybe a couple months ago we had this conversation, and all of a sudden this thing appears out of nowhere. And now is the biggest news story on the planet. We had the World Health Organization coming out and declaring it a global emergency 2 or 3 days ago, and they're all falling in line. Follow the money, guys, and follow the agenda. That's all I can say. This is, to me, this is an agenda. That's all it is, Roger.
It's never my wish to tell you don't worry about communicable diseases, all right? You need to worry about them. It's not my wish to tell you that there is that the coronavirus doesn't exist, and it is not, in fact, a unique virus. Because to say that, I couldn't prove that one way or another. What I can do is tell you everything that's going on around it, give you the entire scenario so that you can figure out in your head what you think is going on. Because if you think you're being told what's going on, you're not. And if you want about, I don't know, 1.5 million examples on why I say that, I can start right now, but we won't be done until 2025.
Well, we don't have that long, Roger, so we'll have to leave that for another decade.
Yeah. Stop and consider the world we live in today.
It's going crazy, Roger.
but stop and consider where it's been headed. Since the advent of what I like to call the tycoons in America, and it was basically an advent, and that's another whole story, okay? But since these initial tycoons, okay, the Rockefellers, which I could go on forever about, the Fords, Sears, Roebuck, and I could go through a list of names, all right, since we have seen the rise of this, everybody seems to think that this is the corporate stranglehold on America, that these big tycoons, these billionaires, are those who would tell us what to do. And for everybody thinking that, you couldn't be more wrong. What we're talking about is centuries older. What we're talking about are the Rothschilds and the offshoots from that family, either by marriage or by whatever. Okay, what we're talking about is the true elitist caste of this planet, who put into motion 2.5 to 3 centuries ago the ultimate control of the entire planet's population. And yes, their plan was not going to succeed, and it wasn't planned to succeed in days, weeks, months, years, decades, generations. It was set to roll in centuries. I would also tell you that if you get all the way up to about the ninth year, 1900, you will find that things are going along pretty slowly. Okay, the only thing that's increasing their ability to enforce their control, more of their control, is the massive amount of people going all over the planet, exploring new lands, so on and so forth. Okay, this was done over centuries. If we had not seen the explosion of technology we saw at the turn of the 20th century, if we had not seen it accelerate like it did in the early 1960s into the computer age, if we had not seen it accelerate even further by tying things like space travel, focused energy weapons, chips, you know, microchips, all of this together, we have seen an explosion in technology. We have seen more technological advancement in 100 years than we saw in the rest of humanity's history combined. And what you're looking at today is what gave them the impetus, what gave them the ability, what gave them the drive to accelerate their plans was the technology that was now available to them.
Right.
Yeah. If it would have continued at the slow pace it was happening at, it may have succeeded without anybody even realizing this was the intent from the beginning, which is what they wanted to accomplish. They wanted to accomplish a total subjugation of the human race to them over a period of time to the point where it was considered normal. But you had this. You had this impetus, you had this drive that came from all of a sudden, I can talk to a billion people instantly. Imagine in the 1900s when, oh my God, they had, you know, the little, and that was it. That was it. And that was amazing. That was awesome. I can use this and talk to somebody 500 miles away. And now, today, I can talk to billions of people in under 5 seconds. It's called the internet. So what we saw was a massive increase in the technology they could use to confront society and subjugate it, except we also got that technology, which allowed us to see things we couldn't see before, to make comparisons we couldn't make before, to look at data from comparisons we never had access to before. And all of a sudden, people started to wake up. And these guys went, oh, and all of a sudden, they had to kick in the afterburners. They had to go even faster because they needed to stay away from or in front of that waking up curve. Right now, as Barry has stated, as I have stated, and as Steve has alluded to, right now what we're looking at, they're losing. They're losing all across the planet. So the same thing that gave them the ability to speed up their program of control also gave us the ability to pop a hole in their control here, put a hole in it there, put a hole in it there, and now you've got about 60 to 70% of the globe that's saying, we don't want what you're offering.
They're running out of fingers to plug the dam there, Roger. You got them all up on the side of the dam right now, and they're running out of fingers.
Why is it every time I have a discussion with you, the subjects are so freaking deep, the Marianas Trench is jealous?
I don't know. You just get me thinking about stuff, Roger. I'm sorry, buddy.
Don't be sorry.
The thought about the dam was all those guys up there. There must be 100, 200, 300 of them up there right now with their fingers in the hole because there's a lot of holes in the dam. And it's only, like you said, because of our ability to basically go on this computer I have here and find out anything I really want to find about anything in about a minute or less. So,
And if you stop to consider a year ago, Barry, okay, the EU was telling every member country, all right, you're going to take so many of these refugees, doesn't matter what you have to say. You're going to take so many. You're going to take so many. You're going to take so many. And this is what you're going to do. Basically, telling them that their nations don't belong to them, that their sovereignty that they cherish can be given to anybody who walks across their border, that these people need to be supported in a fashion you can't even support your own people, okay, natural-born citizens, so on and so forth. What we're looking at across Europe is this starting to say, no, don't send them here, we ain't taking them. And that is the biggest smack in the face to these elitists in Europe of just about anything. And people say, well, why is that so important? Because if you have a society that is highly productive, very industrious, technologically advanced, what does it cost to support that society? Well, it costs a whole heck of a lot more if people are intelligent, okay, and they know what they're looking at, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And if they're that good at industry and that good at technology, you got to pay them a lot more, too. So if you want to appease those who literally run the globe, what you will do is you will vanillaize, and you could use any flavor you want. You will chocolatize, okay? You will raspberryize the entire population to the point where the average cost for each individual is lowered as well as what you are paying them. There is no other reason, no other sane reason on the entire planet to relocate entire populations into areas where most people won't welcome them. Please stop and think about that. A lot of these people fleeing their countries are doing so because the very people who are telling those European countries they will take these people in are the very people that in the countries where these refugees are coming from have stripped their land, their resources, and robbed them of everything they have to the point where they have no choice but to try and find solace and refuge in Europe. Do I blame these individuals? No, I don't. Do I blame those who have put them in the situation to do this? These are the people who made this migration necessary in the first place. And what are they going to do with that migration? They're going to use it to tone down the cost factor in areas where it costs more per individual and you've got to pay them more. Anybody who thinks that I'm making this up, please stop and do some homework. So when we are talking, Barry and I are talking about conservatives and those who just basically love their country standing up and saying, we don't want any more of this. It's not Canada. It's not America. Okay? It's well over 60%, maybe over 70% of the planet.
My power just went out here, Roger. Sorry about that.
I can hear you.
I'm on my phone now for the last couple minutes of the show, but yeah, the power just went out here, and I don't know why, but everything just went black. So I've been out for the last couple, 3 minutes. I don't know what you've been talking about. I know we're getting close to the end of the show, so I'll let you talk for a few more minutes, and we'll shut the show up for this week.
You don't know what I was talking about. Let me see. I'll bet you could have a real good guess, though. Anyway, what I was discussing was, and the entire audience, I think, everybody suspects everything that I've been saying today, okay? But if you think it, or if you talk about it, you're a conspiracy nut, Well, I got to explain something to you. First off, those who call them conspiracy theories and you conspiracy nut are right on two occasions. Okay? It's a conspiracy in both occasions, but it doesn't make you a nut, and it's not a theory. So the first premise of each one of those comments is absolutely true. It's a conspiracy. And what is a conspiracy? It's several people, or I don't know how many people, getting together to do something without your knowledge that will affect you in fashions you're not aware of. Mm-hmm. And here we go. This is what we're living in. I'm going to tell you right now, Trump is going to get acquitted. There's no doubt about that. I'm also going to tell you there's a real good chance that Nancy Pelosi and her gang are going to continue to do everything they can to make life miserable for him, including continuing to run supposed impeachment trials. I don't think we've heard the last of this because he's been acquitted, because they said this is a bunch of crap, because they said your case is absolutely insane. There isn't even a crime he's being committed, accused of. That's the whole thing, okay? Impeachment is, in the United States of America, is the most serious issue, political issue, we could ever face as a nation, and was never by our founders to ever be used as a weapon for political purposes. This is exactly what has happened. It has to be treason. It has to be. Okay? It has to be high crimes and misdemeanors. Okay? And I could go on. None of the criteria set down in the Constitution have been met. There's not even a crime. But yet you want to remove a duly elected president, and while you're doing all this and telling everybody how evil he is, and then going on vacation for 33 days and not doing anything, that's how evil he was, and how quickly he had to be removed. While you are doing all of this and saying all of this about this president, okay, he's accomplished more, literally, in 3 years than any president since Reagan, and Reagan had 8 years. He has accomplished more. This president, and I'm not a huge Trump fan, but you give credit where credit is due, this president made a list of promises of which he's kept more of them than any president I can remember, and I'm 65 years old. Are you getting the point? If this guy had broken the law, I'd be standing up there on a freaking pedestal with a megaphone screaming, impeach him! But when you try and make a serious attempt to remove a duly elected sitting president because you don't like him, and because this was admitted by Representative Green, okay? He flat out said it. If we don't impeach him, we can't beat him in 2020. So now what you have is a weaponized political system whereby those who have the majority in the House will feel going forward they can impeach a president just to keep him from winning the next election. But this is going to backfire on them absolutely monstrously. And just like you are seeing all across the planet, you are seeing these elitists melting away and going into a rage and a fit because they're losing. It's exactly what's happening to the Democrats here. Every time they stick the pin in a little further, if when he gets acquitted on Wednesday, they start this all over again in the House, I pity any of their candidates for the Senate, for the House, or for the presidency in 2020, because they are going to get beat so mercilessly. The American public has had enough of this crap.
Well, you know it's not going to stop, Roger. They're going to keep going with this parade as long as they can, because it's not to impeach the president. It's to try and smear Trump any way they can for the next election. But it's backfiring on him. And you'll see that when the Americans go to the polls, you're going to see this because if I was sitting back and right now looking at this whole situation, and like I said, I'm not a big Trump supporter either, but I got to give him credit for what he has done. He's turned the American economy around. He has kept a majority of his promises. Like you said, Roger, we don't usually see that in a politician.
No. So
at this point, I say to people, boy, if we'd had Hillary Clinton in there for the last 3.5 years, what kind of situation would the United States be in today?
Wait a minute. This ain't a horror story, okay?
It would be the good grounds for one, okay? I mean, I can't even imagine it if that had happened.
stop and consider, okay, the fact that you have a president who has actually kept more promises in 3 years than any president in modern history in 8 years. And then you tell me why it's such a mad rush to get this guy impeached.
Anything we can do to shut him up.
Yep.
Anything we can do to sway public opinion.
Well, there are times I want to shut him up, too. He runs off at the mouth a bit too much for a president, as far as I'm concerned.
Mr. Landry, it's time up again. We're going to have to say goodbye to you, buddy. Thanks for joining in. Tell people real quick where they can find you, because I have the first hour is up here.
At thelibertybeacon.com. And when you go there, that's the flagship site. There's a banner up at the top. Click on that. That'll take you to some of our other websites. And, Barry, it's always enjoyable because you allow me to vent. Once I hang up here, I will be probably more comfortable than I've been all day. And I thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad we provided an enema for you today, Roger. There you go, bud.
Okay. And thank you too, Steve.
Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes, folks. Thanks for joining. Thanks again, Roger, for coming in, bud. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, hey, welcome back, folks, to the second hour of the show. This second hour has actually been recorded earlier today because my guest, unfortunately, has had something come up that's going to make him unavailable for the particular time that we had slotted for him today. I'm talking about Kevin Johnson, who has joined me today. Great to have you back on, Kevin. I know we haven't talked for a while. I'm looking forward to our chat, and I know that you're not having a very good day because of some information brought to you this morning. Let's start the show off and explain to people why you're not going to be here at the particular time that you were supposed to be here today.
Hello, everybody. Kevin J. Johnston here, freedomreport.ca. I know that I've not really done much with freedomreport.ca for quite some time. It's mainly because due to the fact that the Canadian government has punished me every way it possibly can fiscally, I'm $10.5 million in the hole. And, you know, my wife at the time couldn't handle all of the stress of the police banging on the door all the time to talk to me and so on. So she divorced me, which I understand. And I'm not even angry about. But it does put me in the precarious position of having not had a place to go. I have been nomadic since September. Anyway, so what I did do, or what I have to do today, because I attempted to interview a Crown attorney in Mississauga at a store. I just happened to walk in, and there was the Crown attorney that's been making my life miserable for 3 years straight with a hate crime charge. All I wanted to do was interview the guy. Well, the police, not knowing that I was not in Mississauga, I guess, or not caring, decided to bash on my ex-wife's door and windows for two straight days. Now, they've been freaking out my kids that live with her, and they've been freaking her out, and she got a hold of me by email, which is pretty much the only way to catch me, email or Skype, because I don't have a phone, and I can't afford a phone. Not being $10 million in the hole, I can't. So I just got fed up with – my wife got fed up – ex-wife, sir, got fed up with them knocking on her door. I got fed up with listening to her complain about it. And now that's not me being disrespectful. It's a matter of, okay, I have to deal with it. So I did. I called the supervisor in Peel region for that particular station to ask, why are you going to my ex-wife's house knocking on the door? And what they want me to do is come in, turn myself in, because I am going to be arrested today when I do turn myself in between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern time for, I believe they called it intimidation of a legal clerk or whatever it is. So this Crown attorney has decided to call the cops and have me charged with intimidation, whereas I was just asking him questions. Now, this is a guy who towers over me by a foot and a half and has let it slip that he is some kind of martial arts guru. So he's not intimidated at all. He has no intimidation by me whatsoever. He's just got his feelings hurt. So this is what they say. They say that I must go in and turn myself in and so on. Otherwise, they're going to have a national warrant go out for my arrest, which I don't want. Nobody wants. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of taxpayers' money. This whole thing is a waste of taxpayers' money. By the time my hate crime charge, which was like the first arrest was 3 years ago, by the time it hits the courts, it's already going to be at the $2 million mark to prosecute me.
Wow.
Because I have conservative, Christian, non-liberal views. That's how it works. And it's going to get worse for everybody, Barry. This is not just me. Now, look, let me backtrack a little bit here. They've hit me with a hate crime charge, number one. I was hit with a $1 million defamation lawsuit. It wasn't even served to me properly, and they won the lawsuit ex parte. I wasn't there because I didn't know it was taking place. There was another lawsuit filed for $25,000 by Kevin Metcalf. He's an Antifa photographer. I didn't even bother defending that one because I was already in the hole. There was another – I can't tell you the name. There was a restaurant owner that sued me for $2.5 million. He won that one without a trial. There was no trial. He just was awarded $2.5 million plus costs. And then there was another suit that I didn't even know about because I wasn't served properly for somewhere in the range of $5 million. I still have not even seen the paperwork for that. So my understanding is that I am somewhere between $7 and $10 million in the hole with all these lawsuits that they keep hitting me with, and I keep losing by default. It's crazy. So they're going to do this to you, Barry, I'm sure. They're going to do it to Derek Rance and Michael Arana. They're going to do it. They're doing it right now to Ezra Levant. They dragged him into a criminal
investigation.
Because he wrote a book called The Libranos.
No, I've been following that story and actually was in talking with his group the other day. And buddy, I'll tell you, I never thought I'd see things accelerate as quickly as they are right now in Canada. And I've said it many times to people here in the last little while that this is really a time that we really need to stand up against what's going on. Because it is totally getting out of hand. If we don't stop it, Kevin, in the near future, we're not going to be able to stop this.
Let me ask you a question, though, Stephen.
Then people will be really pissed off. But that's what's going to happen, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to ask you this, though. How do we motivate the average Canadian who doesn't seem to care? You know, they're more interested, it seems, especially white people, are more interested in calling you and me racist than they are actually listening to what we are saying. But they'll go out of their way to listen to a 500-pound feminist with blue hair and armpit hair screaming at the top of their lungs that some type of patriarchy exists. Like, Canadians' priorities are completely backwards. I don't know how to get through anymore. I've been at this for 3 years. How do I get through?
You know, that's the million-dollar question, Kevin. I ask myself that question every day. What's it going to take to get the masses to a point they realize that what we're dealing with right now is a direct threat to everything that they hold sacred in their life, what they appreciate, what they understand, and what they have right now is all going to be taken away. If we could get that message through to them and they understood that's how serious the situation we're dealing with is, then you'd see them wake up. But you know what? Unfortunately, I see a vast majority of the Canadians, their most important thing they talk about in the coffee shop in the morning is who won the hockey game last night and who's leading the NHL, how many points Vancouver is out of a playoff spot, blah, blah, blah. And I hear this all the time, and I go, I mean, I look at this, Kevin, what they've done through professional sports, how they have brainwashed society, how guys now seem to think that the most important thing in their life is whether the Blue Jays are winning or the Maple Leafs are winning or the Canucks are winning. Nothing else seems to matter. And I see that in my society, and I go, you know, how did this happen? How did Canadians get to a point where the most important thing in their life is idolization of a sports figure that doesn't live anywhere near the kind of world and the kind of situation that they have to live in? They don't understand what it's like to be without food or being struggling to pay the bills. And yet you idolize these people. And I see that effect on society. There's multiple things that have brought it to this point, Kevin. If we really sit down and think about it, we had this conversation this morning. And you ask yourself, how did Canadians get to the point we are right now? That, you know, in the 20s and 30s, Canadians were a hard stock, very, very morally founded society. The family was the focus of our society. That has completely turned around on us, and the family is what they've attacked, Kevin. They've done that multiple ways through multiple different instances. They've attacked the family unit in our society. They've attacked our morale base, and they've attacked everything that's meant to be a human being. They have attacked. And then we look at what we're eating for food and what they're giving us for chemicals and the vaccination programs, and you roll it all around in a big pile, and what do you come up with? You come up with Canadians now that are brainwashed, that are sick, that really don't understand a thing about what's going on around them, and yet it's right in front of their faces. So how do we get over all of that? This didn't happen overnight, Kevin. This didn't happen overnight. This took years of think tanks, of people sitting in rooms and coming up with these things that they're going to bring into society to get society to where we are right now. So we have a monumental task of deprogramming society. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's sad that you have to use the word deprogramming. We can't even try to convince anymore. They've got to be completely deprogrammed. And you know what I find really interesting is the only way to get through to the average Canadian is to go through Fox News. I mean, there were four different media outlets that we knew of that had the Justin Trudeau blackface photographs, and because he pays them off, they don't they didn't run with the story at all, and they should have run with the story. Fox News ran with the story, so then the rest realized, okay, we're going to look like complete idiots if we don't go with the story. Mal?
They definitely forced the card out, that's for sure, because they would have covered it as much as they could, because you said they're owned by the same companies that own Canadian media. A group of what, eight families own it all, Kevin?
About that.
Everything that you see through TV, through newspapers, through any kind of journalism in Canada basically is controlled by these families. So what we're doing right now, I know they're going to attack me, Kevin. It's only a matter of time. But that's not going to stop me from talking. I know that everybody else that's involved right now in trying to get us to stand up, we're not going to stop talking. But we know that day's coming that I'm going to experience the same thing that you are. And we've got to try and rally the troops, buddy. What it's going to take, I don't know, Kevin. I really don't know. Said that's the million-dollar question I ask myself every day, but then I do kind of look at all the reasons society is to where they are right now. And really, to get it back to where we were, to get us based on a moralistic society where the school isn't indoctrinating our children from the time they've gone in kindergarten to everything else that happens to children now and the family unit. And I keep getting back to that, Kevin, because I see that as being the fundamental of any society. If you study history and you look at societies that have fallen, the family unit in those societies has fallen apart just prior to the collapse of those societies. And we see the same thing playing out here because it works.
Yeah, it does work. You know, it's funny that you look at all the memes that pop up on Facebook these days, and the memes will show the family of 1962. Now it's husband, wife, husband's in a suit, wife's in a nice dress, three kids, they're all smiling, they're sitting on a couch together, and then modern family, and you'll see a gay white guy and a gay Asian guy with a half-breed child in between them and a dog. And then the other one I saw was a black family from 1960, where it's husband, wife, and four kids, and then it says modern family, 2020, and you see a very overweight black woman with five kids. You're right. The family unit has been discouraged for quite some time. I mean, I don't know really who to blame. I just know where some of it started, but not all of it. You know, so, you know, really, what do I do? What do you do? What do I do? Aside from going to violence, which I don't want to do, which I don't want to ever see in our society at all, what do we do? And if any of you have the answer, believe me, I want to hear it. Because I don't want violence in the streets. I really don't. But everybody out there is hungry and angry and broke. They're not paying rent. You've got three or four families living in a house or an apartment now, and this was never the type of thing that we saw when we were growing up. And then you look at the United States of America, and it's exactly the opposite. You know, people are now buying their own houses. Kids are moving out of their parents' places and getting their own places because they can afford it.
Well, the American economy, I take it all with a grain of salt, but then if you really look at the numbers of what's going on down right now, Trump has done miracles.
Yes, he has.
He has. Whether you like him or not, he has turned the economy around, upside down. Almost unbelievable what he has done since he's taken over as president of the United States of America. And I know there's a lot of people that tune in, they don't like Trump, they go blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I can't imagine the United States of America with 3 years of Hillary Clinton in at this point, what you'd be dealing with down there. So just thank God she didn't take over as United States president, because I don't know where I'd go, Kevin. You can't go to the States. You can't go run. I'd probably go to Iceland, I think.
Yeah, I think I would have gone there. I would have gone back to Myanmar and stayed, you know. Like,
Switzerland. Maybe like Switzerland would take me in.
Panama, so good. You know. Like, I've been looking, there are options out there for people that do want to live comfortable lives. In Costa Rica, for example, right now, as a Canadian, you can get in there so long as you've got a monthly income of any kind of $1,100 US a month. You can stay.
Right.
In Chile, $25,000 US, you pay that to the government, and now you're a, boom, instant citizen. Just like that.
In Spain?
No, in Chile.
On Chile, okay.
In Chile, okay. Yes. And Chile, yeah. They are developing very rapidly in Chile. They're ignoring what the rest of South America is not doing. They're doing the exact opposite. And they have more tourism in Chile now than they've ever seen before, because they're doing it the way that they should. I mean, when you if you land in Santiago and you drive, I guess, 2 hours west, you get to an incredible resort of like a dozen buildings and the world's biggest swimming pool right beside the ocean. And this pool is so big, you need a sailboat, a small sailboat, to actually get across this thing. They don't have that kind of stuff in North America. And people want to see what other countries around the world are doing, because when countries get desperate for tourist dollars, they will do crazy stuff like that. And I don't think it would be a real problem for the average Canadian to live a comfortable life in Chile. They've got good medicine down there. They're like Cuba. They have really good medicine in these countries. You know, just if you're not a heavy smoker and a heavy drinker and so on, you're going to be fine, really. Live a comfortable but healthy lifestyle, and you need not use the doctor's offices. You just don't. If you get cancer, I understand. Maybe you got to come back to this country and you know, and do what you got to do. Who knows? But I'm just telling people that there's options now.
Yes, there is. And with dealing with cancer, there is so many options out there now, Kevin. It's something that I talk about a lot on my shows, is cancer. We won't go there today, but all I can say to people is that there is undeniably cures for all cancers. And I believe that, honestly, honestly. And all you have to do is look into it. Cancer is not a death sentence. It is not.
No, it's
there's
not.
There's too much information out there now, Kevin, about alternative cures that you know are being absolutely proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to be what they time to be.
I certainly understand. And what's interesting too about cancer here is I'm willing to bet there's a very large percentage of people who are undergoing cancer treatments who actually don't have cancer. You know, my mother was one of these people that endured 18 months of chemotherapy and radiation therapy just to be on the safe side, the doctor said. You know, I remember being a child. She was 9 years old. We would go to Florida every year, and she couldn't lie on her stomach. She always had a pain. And this pain progressively got worse until at least I was 18. And the doctor told her every year, it's all in your head. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. It's all in your head. And I had to bark out. If I didn't threaten to break the doctor's hands as an 18-year-old, I was a hot-headed 18-year-old, he would never have given her an MRI or the CAT scan that she got, and they would never have found the 15-centimeter in diameter cyst. But it was benign. It was just right. A cyst, benign. Right. Right. So he puts her on 18 months of chemotherapy. I found out later on he got a commission for that. So how many people here are on that type of harsh drug just because the doctor wants a cut?
Well, in British Columbia, believe it or not, Kevin, and this is something I researched, and I can tell you this is absolutely correct, is when a doctor sends you to get chemotherapy in British Columbia, he gets a $5,000 bonus for doing that.
I didn't know that.
So you tell me what the heck is going on in the doctor's office. They're the biggest hypocrites. I mean, I myself, Kevin, I know there'll always be a place in society for drama, dramatic medicine, broken bones and broken arms and car crashes, and that will always be necessary in our society. But what's gone on in the doctor's offices in the last 30 years, I believe, is one of the biggest tragedies that's happening to our society right now. that they have a little book when they come out of medical school. They have a little book, and the little book says this is the medicine that you treat this disorder with. And if you don't kind of go along these guidelines, you're not going to be paid as a physician in the world today. So they're basically, you know, we know and everybody knows that they're being dictated to by Big Pharma how we treat all disorders in the human body. And to me, I look at the numbers. I look at the fact that now drug interaction is in between the third and the fourth biggest killer of people in North America. So we ask ourselves, who really are the criminals, Kevin? Who are the drug dealers? I mean, society, Big Pharma and pharmaceutical medicines, I have proven it to myself many, many times that naturals work. And one of those examples was my MRI and my ACL in my left knee that I tore this year. That doctor told me the only way that it would ever be healed is with surgery. And I wrapped my knee with a herb called stinging nettle, which is, I got a nickname from the North American Indians. They call stinging nettle nick bone because they used it to use broken bones or heal broken bones before modern medicine came to North America. And another herb. And I wrapped my knee with these two herbs for 6 weeks in a row, and my ACL completely healed in my left knee without surgery. I showed the two MRIs to the doctors, and they just about fell off their seat because God, if medicine told me the only way it could be healed, this was surgery. And I got multiple examples of that. Everything that I believe that we need to heal our bodies is provided by the earth, but there is no money to be made in anything that's natural. That's why there's such a big pushback. That's why we've seen such a big pushback in society against holistic doctors and anything natural. In the last, 15 years, it's really ramped up. It's like, if you talk natural, you're going to jail. Sad, yeah. But that's how I see medicine. I mean, how else can we see it? I mean, all medicines, all prescription drugs, there isn't really one out there that really heals the body, Kevin, unless you know of one that actually heals the disorder that it's given to the person for.
No, I don't.
They're just bandages.
There's no drug I've ever taken that cured anything. I guess the only exception to that would be after the knee surgery I had done, I got a horrible infection and they gave me antibiotics, liquid antibiotics for about 2 weeks. So the infection was killed, but that's not healing the leg. That's just killing the infection that came after the surgery. That's all. I there's no drug out there that ever repaired a broken bone of mine or repaired a ripped muscle or ripped anything else. None.
Well, this was a complete tear of my ACL, right in half. And it was healed by me wrapping my knee for 6 weeks in a row with those two herbs. And when I'm back playing hockey, Kevin, I didn't think I was going to play hockey. And I'm a goalie. So when I play hockey, I go really hard on my legs. I'm down, I'm flopping, I'm kicking, I'm all over the net. And I am doing that right now and having no pain in the knee that had a complete tear this summer when I was out doing morels. I had a slip on a hill. I came down on my knee the wrong way and completely tore that, partially tore a tendon in my left knee. And I didn't think I was going to be on the ice playing hockey this year, but I'm back out playing. So I just thank God for that because I love playing hockey.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, it's a blast. You know what, Kevin? I don't watch professional sports anymore on TV. I don't. I'm just not going to pay, watch some guy that's not in the same world and never will be. Sure, they've, professional athletes, they sacrificed the years of hard work to get to where they were. But when I look at big professional sports, I go, well, there's 10,000 little boys that grow up every year thinking that life now is the NHL, that my whole purpose of being here is I've got to make it to the NHL. And the problem is that only 1 in 10,000 or slightly less than that will actually make it to that level. So the rest of them have this hole in their heart for the rest of their lives. That's a real effect on a lot of young people, man, when they have their dreams broken. And a lot of them, that is their dreams because that's what they see. They idolize these professional athletes and they want to get there. The problem is most of them don't. And that really has an effect on society. Me, I love playing the game, Kevin. It's the greatest game in the world, playing hockey. Stopping pucks, man, I'm a little bit retarded in the brain. I know it because I like jumping in front of the puck instead of diving out of the way. I'd kind of dive in the way, but it's something. It is a mental disorder, Kevin. It is. I admit it. I think it was when I was 3 years old, I got run over by a truck in a pile of leaves or something. I don't know. But, yeah, it's fun. It's a great game. And I'm sure you played it at one point in your life.
Yeah, I got all the way to AAA, but they threw me out of AAA after only a couple of games because I always had this problem where I could not cross-cut left foot over right foot. It was just bizarre. I never actually got the motion down pat, and I'm a left-handed shot. So, you know, getting the wraparounds to work didn't work. I couldn't do it. So they bought me back down to AA. And then my parents said, like, this is $4,700 a year. And that's back in the 80s. So we just said, you know what, forget this. I dropped down to house league and just had fun. But then I coached the game for 20 years, and I refereed it for about 20 years. I was a level 3 referee for years. I haven't recertified in a while. And then mainly because, I'll tell you this, here – all the private leagues, they're paying between $18 and $25 a game per referee. It really is – it's just not worth it anymore. You got to drive out there, and you're responsible for everything. And if you call a five-minute major, you have to write a report. You got to spend your time you're not getting paid for, to write a report as to why you called a five-minute major. Doesn't matter what it is, fighting, slashing, whatever it might be. So I just stopped calling major penalties. I just – the hell with this. I just started calling double minors. And then I would get complaints from the league saying you should have called a major. I said, yeah, well, maybe you weren't there. You know, like, what else can I tell them?
Maybe you start my time to write up the reports, and I'll write the reports and give the majors out. How's that?
Well, I did ask them if I could get $25 for the hour it would take to write the report. They, of course, said no. And then I find out a friend of mine that I coached. I actually coached this guy in hockey back in 1994. He's in the Florida area now, and he's refereeing three nights a week to supplement his income. He gets paid $75 a game as a referee. And that's a two-man system. So this league is dropping $150 on the officials. The score clock guys get $35 a game, which is unbelievable. And if it's a high-tier hockey game, they actually pay $35 to the two goal judges.
Wow.
So You can make money there. You could be a referee there. So, you know, I'm thinking, why would I even bother trying to be a ref here? Because it's still $25. I was making $25 a game 15 years ago. It's still $25 today. Huh. It's not worth it. Gas was at least a little cheaper back then. I think gas was 90 cents a liter at the time. But, you know, like now I'm spending $10-15 just to get there. And sometimes what they'll do is they'll slate you for three games, but they only run one or two.
Right.
So I'm thinking, why do they do that? Why would you book the ice time, book the schedule with me, and then have me not referee that third game? No, it's out of control. Yeah. And even the roller hockey leagues, they were just as bad. And the roller hockey leagues, there's no real governing body for roller hockey that has any clout whatsoever. So when the roller hockey leagues demand at least 1 5-minute penalty per game so they can charge that player a $50 fee to get back in, you know, I said, look, I'm not doing that. That it's actually fraud. It's illegal for me to do that. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, especially at the adult level.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not supposed to go on.
No, it's not supposed to go on. But I'll tell you this. This was the Oakville Roller Hockey League. There was a division that they had me refereeing in. It was all Christian guys. They all knew each other. It was the same church formed three teams, and another church put in the fourth team. So I would referee those two games per night. These guys, I think it was probably seven or eight games, the first seven or eight games in the season, I didn't call any penalties. I didn't even have to lecture anybody. Like, I think I threw one guy out of the faceoff circle once, and I'm just getting screamed at. Why are you not calling major penalties? Because they're not doing anything wrong, man.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of fun roughing, though, Kevin. You got to like the game to do what you're doing. I mean,
I do
that,
love
that puck. That puck hurts when it hits you guys. I know that because you ain't got the gear. You ain't got the gear on that we do. But you know, I got to play. We won't talk much more about hockey, but I got to play senior A level for about 7 years of my life, and I got to play against some of the best players in British Columbia when I was young. And I just, like I said, I thank God that at 65, which turning 66 this year, that I'm still able to get out there and play with the young guys. They find it quite inspiring that a guy my age can get out and move the way I do. So as long as I can keep playing, I'll keep playing, but I know my days are numbered. But listen, what's your thoughts on this coronavirus there? Let's get away from hockey. We could talk about that for hours because we've both had some really good memories. But what's your thoughts on this coronavirus there, Kevin?
Let me go to the coronavirus website. All right. So as we're talking about coronavirus right now, the total confirmed cases are 14,637. That's what they say is confirmed. Okay. I don't buy that number at all. Let me tell you this. I'm looking at the map with red dots. There are two dots in Canada. We've got Vancouver. It used to be Prince Rupert, but now they've adjusted it to Vancouver. We got Vancouver, Toronto. We have New York, Chicago, Phoenix, Los Angeles, San Francisco. That's a problem. Then we have one of the Spanish islands has one right now. France, Italy, Germany, United Kingdom, Sweden, Finland, Dubai, the United Arab Emirates. We've got Central India. We have Nepal, Singapore, Macau. Cambodia's got them. Bangkok, Vietnam, and the Philippines had their first death as a result of it. Chinese Taipei has this disease. Tokyo's got it. Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and some town – oh, Adelaide. That's not a small town. Adelaide's a big city in Australia. So look at it this way. Japan, Thailand, Singapore, South Korea, Hong Kong, Australia, Germany, Taiwan, Macau, U.S., Malaysia, France, Vietnam, UAE, Canada, Italy, Russia, Philippines, India, United Kingdom, Nepal, Cambodia, Spain, Finland, Sweden, Sri Lanka. All those countries are confirmed to have it. Now, they haven't talked yet about South America, and there's nothing in Africa yet because Africa doesn't have the ability to report this disease. What do I think? I think this thing is completely out of control. I think that the Chinese government knew about it but was completely ill-prepared to deal with it. I think the 14,000 is probably closer to a million. And I think this is going to be absolutely destructive to the Chinese economy. And that is going to have repercussions worldwide because there's so many companies out there that are relying on cheap Chinese garbage. And their stuff is garbage, really. Their products are garbage. I do not like Chinese products. The world is not going to get their junk to sell to other people. Now, believe me when I say this, I'm actually happy about that. I don't know if you've looked at the city of Mississauga lately, which is just west of Toronto. But there are some warehouses now in Mississauga that are literally 500 meters long, and they've got like 50 shipping bays for trucks to pull in. All Mississauga, Toronto, Vaughan, Thornhill, Maple, Oakville, all that they have become now is just distribution centers for Chinese junk. So if China's economy, if they're not going to be able to produce junk and ship it to here and sell it to us, I'm actually happy about that. It means that we may actually get some, not many, but some manufacturing jobs back here. But the biggest issue with Canadian manufacturing, I'm sure we can all agree on this, is that Canadians are not professionals. They're just not. They're too lackadaisical. They've had it too good for too long. The CEOs go in at 10. They take their coffee break at 10:30. They go out lunch at 12. Coffee break at 3. They go home at 4. There's nobody trying hard here to establish something in this country that will be long-lasting and forever. We just have distribution centers. Amazon has two of them within 10 miles of each other. Just distribution, just people buying crap that they can't afford and they don't need. With China's economy going bust, with ships not being allowed to leave port, let's see where this goes. This may be the wake-up call Canadians need.
It could go in lots of different directions, Kevin. It really could. I kind of sat back and looked at this from as many different perspectives as you possibly that I can come up with in my little brain. And this could be a massive ploy. This could be it could be the plague. It could be the one that we've kind of worried about and talked about, or it could be being overplayed. Is it possible that a lot of this information about all these cases is not factual? Who is providing the information and who are the people behind it? I don't always believe everything I see. That's all.
And no, I don't.
It has the way this thing has come about. It was talked about in December. All of a sudden it was talked about for the first time in December. And now we are here the first couple days in February, and this thing has spread all over the planet, basically. And if it is spreading at this rate and accelerating at this rate, where is it going to go in a couple weeks? Could we possibly be looking at something that would justify a worldwide vaccination program, Kevin? Possibly.
Of course it could.
And what are the results of that? I've gone down that rabbit hole lots of times, buddy, but there's one that, you know, people should think about, because all of a sudden, if they're going to mandate a vaccine worldwide, I have a very, very strong view on vaccines, and that would not, in my books, be a very good day for the human race, Kevin. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you this. The one and only time when I was still married, the one and only time that my wife ever got the flu that went longer than a day was the one time she took the flu shot. In fact, she was out for a week. What had happened is she works for a company in Scarborough. I won't say which one, but there's a medical component to what they do. And as a result, everybody mandatorily had to take it. And everybody in the company, with the exception of like five or six people, got sick. And the place shut down for over a week. And I'm thinking, holy smoke, man. Like they didn't get this thing right. They were in such a hurry after swine flu to get something out there that they got it all wrong. Obviously, the formula doesn't work.
Well, so, anybody who take a flu shot, to me, Kevin, isn't doing any kind of research at all, period. You're just going with what they're telling you to do, because if you look into the flu shots at all, you can go to Northern Health website here in British Columbia, and you can look at the effective rate of prevention with the flu shot in 2018. And right on their website tells you that it was 15% effective in the general population. So of the 100 vaccines given with the flu shot to 100 different people, only 15 people out of that 100 actually saw any kind of benefit from the vaccine. And that's, of course, because they mutate. The flu virus is always mutating. As it goes from human being to human being, it will mutate. So what you're treating a virus this year with is a virus from a year ago. And for people to get flu shots, if you look at the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board in the States, Kevin, they've had a 400% increase in claims in between 2018 and 2019. Vaccine Injury Compensation Board had an increase in claims of over 400%. And of that 400%, 91% of it was tied to the flu vaccine. So what the heck does it take people to sit down for 5 minutes and do a little research before they stick a needle in their arm?
They won't, because everybody has become used to the idea that when they're told to do something, they should do it. I could never subscribe to that ever in my life. I mean, that's why I had so many problems when I was in grade schools. There's so many stupid things that we were being told that I just couldn't, I couldn't relate, and I couldn't understand why everybody else would comply with these crazy demands. And I'm seeing it in my adult life. In fact, it's worse in my adult life, because at least kids, they would exhibit some fear and say no, and they'd run away. But adults don't exhibit that fear. They just say, well, okay, I have to, because I'm being told I have to. So they do. They do.
Yeah, it's called brainwashing, Kevin. It's called how we are programmed as a society. And that's one of the biggest challenges we face, is deprogramming people. We said it earlier in the show, but it's so true, that society now, people have to come to the realization that everything they've ever been taught in their life is a lie. And when you get to that point, boy, I'll tell you, it's an eye-opener. It's scary. But if you can get into that rabbit hole and start going down that rabbit hole, you'll never, ever come back. You'll be changed for life. I know that happened to me one night when I sat down and I watched a video called 9/11 Architects of Truth. And I got to be honest, up to that point, Kevin, and this was about 9 years ago, I think I sat down, I watched that video. Up to that point, I was just kind of like going along with the flow, going fishing and not really worrying about anything. But I sat down that night, watched that video, and my life changed. It'll never be the same, ever.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you live in a country where you can't really talk about it. That's the big problem, it seems.
The biggest lie in the world. I mean, we won't get into 9/11, but I honestly, in my life now, I've probably got at least 100 hours of research into it, or if not more. I had the honor of having Richard Gage on about 4 years ago on one of my shows. And I'll tell you that our whole lives, everybody's lives, was changed by 9/11 in ways that it would take a while to explain to how it's actually changed everybody's life, but it has. And it's the biggest lie ever perpetrated on the human race, that there is absolutely no truth in what the government tells us about that day. But, and it drives me nuts that it's still going on, that these people aren't in jail. It just goes to show you the power of the deep state and the power of these people that are actually working behind the scenes and are working against us, Kevin.
Well, I've noticed myself at this end the power of not even the deep state, just the power of the Liberal Party of Canada. They want me quiet. They want me silenced in every way imaginable. They want me not to talk about anything or anyone. Now, lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, criminal charges. They've arrested me, I think, 5 times in the last 3 years. I've had 112 court appearances in the last 3 years, and it's all for talking. No drugs, no violence, no nothing. It's just all been for talking. That's all it's been. They're trying to shut me up, and that's the sad reality of both you and I that we face on a daily basis. Now, I think the only reason they're not on your case is because geographically, I'm not going to say where you are, but geographically, you're nowhere near the three major centers like Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, where you could be busted for talking. But it will come. It will come.
Well, they'll try and shut everybody down eventually. And I don't hide where I live. I'm up in Terrace, British Columbia, Kevin. They know that now. And if they want to come and find me, they know exactly where I am. So, but I am living in kind of a primitive part of the country compared to big cities at this point. That's for sure.
Yeah, I've never been, so I have no comment on it. But what I do have a comment on is that they are they're not going to stop. And we've got a guy named Navdeep Bains. He is an MP, obviously liberal. He's a Sikh MP in Northeast Mississauga. And he's got a couple of bills that he's tabled that state that he wants internet censorship to be a priority of the Liberal government. He is already going out of his way to ensure that you and I are not going to be allowed to speak. And we know that Zuckerberg and everybody else at YouTube there, they're going to comply with this. So censorship on the internet is going to be broad. A Sikh, not a very well-educated Sikh guy, not born in this country, who has no loyalty to this country, but is paid by this country to represent this country, is going out of its way to tell residents of this country what they can and cannot say.
Yeah. It's only ramping up, Kevin. It's only ramping up. It's to me, it's scary, but I don't think we're at the point of no return. But we really got to get Canadians to a point where they're willing to get involved and not just be on the internet punching keys on keyboard, that you've actually got to get involved. One of the things that I really, and I kind of agree with Ron when Ron talks about, Ron Stevens is a friend of mine, I really kind of thought about this a lot, is how we get back a control of our society. Well, it's got to be done at the municipal level, Kevin, because if we can take back the municipal levels in this country, then you can basically stand up against anything that the government brings in. But it's got to be done at the municipal level, grassroots level, starting at home, taking back your municipalities, getting people involved in your municipalities that are a conservative, value-ridden people instead of the people that are getting into these municipalities and making the changes, the people that are on board with the 2030 agendas that have sold out already to the United Nations and are fully involved with what they're trying to do in our country right now. Now, to me, it's got to start at the grassroots. It's got to start with people sitting down and having conversations with themselves at the dinner table about real hard, scary things. You know, some of this stuff, when you first start talking to people about it, unless you approach them the right way, Kevin, you'll lose them right away, because some of it sounds like it's right out of space, but it's not. It's real. I just try and be careful with how I approach people on it, because you don't want to scare them away. You don't want them thinking, hey, this guy's a nutcase. And if you really go down the rabbit hole right away, you'll sound like a nutcase. But, we got to get the people involved, Kevin. We're going to lose the country. I honestly believe that. But then I also say to myself, one thought that comes to my mind a lot is, what's the United States of America going to do when all this stuff really starts going on in Canada? Or are they involved in the same way? That is a big question I have. Are we being misled by a lot of things down in the States?
I'll make this last point, actually, is Kevin O'Leary talked at length about this with the arrest of the Huawei executive, where, you know, Donald Trump, he's a clever guy. He wanted that Huawei executive. He knew that there was no way to get that plane to land in the United States. So he phones up Chrystia Freeland, who's an insurance broker. He played her like a friggin' harp. and said, yeah, you need to detain that person and send them down here. So she has the tower call the plane in for a landing, which it lands, and they arrest this executive, and then our relations with China go right down the toilet. You know, Trump is playing all of these idiots that we have up here like a harp, and he is and I love him for it. Because what will happen is our government's going to get so stupid, so out of control, that the Americans will come up here and they will implement their own brand of administration for this country. And that is not going to be a bad thing, because we have seen what Canadian administration's like for the last 5 to 10 years, and it's not good. As I've said here, we have a real problem with professionalism in this country.
We're not
professionals. Everything here is amateur, and everything here is off the cuff, and everything here is mundane. And the average Canadian has gotten used to mundanity as the norm, the cultural norm. And I don't want to be in a mundane – I don't want to be in mundanity anymore. I really don't. I want better. I always wanted better. And that's why I do what I do. But no one's listening anymore. Everyone's afraid to listen, or they just don't care. So I don't know what to do, Barry.
Or it's the fear factor too, Kevin. You know, people start to hear about all the stuff that the government's doing to shut us down, and it strikes fear in their heart. Well, fear, of course, is their biggest weapon, buddy. And the only way you alleviate fear in my world is with knowledge. You start to learn. You start to learn what they're doing and how they manipulate us and what they're trying to do in our society. And if that doesn't get you involved, I don't know what to say, man. I really don't. Because to me, this is the fight of my life. I look at my children, my grandchildren, and I go, holy smokes, what have they got coming here in the next 15 years if we don't put a stop to this madness? It'd be hell on earth, because it's going to be.
Yeah.
And the United Nations have got their tentacles so deep into this country right now, Kevin, it's unbelievable. People aren't aware of it. They don't understand the implications and why our laws are changing, why this is happening, why we've had 200,000 immigrants come into the country in a 90-day period, which are numbers right off the charts. That almost equates to 1 million people now the government's bringing into this country. And you hear crickets out of the government about it. And if you want to factor in the illegals that are coming in, then the student programs, then the work programs, our country is being invaded at rates that blow my mind. Yet we hear crickets about it on mainstream. But
well, the mainstream media, unfortunately, is owned by the Liberal Party. And you and I are never going to get a fair shake. And nor is anyone else like Michael Arana, Mike Phillip, and so on. You know, as you're saying, the country, it's done. I think it's like 90% done. Now, this is one of those times where it can go either way. You know, if we have somebody with balls that gets into office somewhere and starts making changes and all the arrests that you need to make, then yes, we can regain control. Like Donald Trump has handed out 45,000 indictments for child molesters and human traffickers. That's incredible. Unfortunately, in this country, we encourage them to come here. And we legalize bestiality. We know why. I'm sad. I'm sad by what I am seeing in this country. I really am sad. Mm-hmm. If we have that one guy who's Trump-esque, who can do something, great, we can save it. And if we don't get that guy, then we're done.
I'm absolutely done. I'm actually, you know, when you mentioned there a few minutes ago the United States getting involved in Canada, you know what, Kevin? Right now at this point, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all to see a national state of emergency declared by the U.S. government, because we're basically now an enemy of the United States of America. With what Justin Trudeau is doing, the people that he is supporting, we don't have time and we can't discuss all the things that you and I probably know about Justin Trudeau. A lot of my listeners probably know the same thing. We're at a point now, we'll just leave that alone, but we all know how evil and how benign this gentleman is and what his intentions are for this country. And to me, if, like I said, as long as I can keep talking, I will keep talking. But I know there's a day coming here real soon that they're going to attack me somehow, and yeah, they'll try and shut me up.
Yeah,
but until that day happens, I'll just sit here and keep trying to get this information into your brain to a point where you want to do something about it. Please, we need help, Kevin.
We certainly do. Now, in the meantime, also because I have to go and get another lawyer now, I could really use your help, everybody. If you were to shoot over to kevinjjohnston.ca, that's kevinjjohnston.ca, and donate $5, $10, $100, whatever you possibly can. I have to appeal a case in Mississauga that was, you know, illegally sided against me. I've got to fight this now. I mean, my legal expenses this year could probably break $150,000. I really could use your help. So that's kevinjjohnston.ca. Please help me out here. I really need to fight this stuff. Thank you so much.
You know, folks, this persecution that Kevin's experiencing right now is going to come to your doorstep in the very, very near future. It's, if you think that's not possible, and maybe you disagree with that statement I just made, but I honestly believe what we're seeing right now is just a precursor. And it's happening with, like Kevin said, all the people that are speaking with the conservative voice in Canada. And we can go up and down the list, and what's going on with each one of them are under attack. So what's going to happen if they silence the conservative voice in Canada? I mean, Hitler did this before the start of the Second World War. If we want to look at all cases in history where the press has been silenced, that we only have one story ever coming out, and it's what the government controls, that society really is in a bad state. And that's where we're going with Canada. That's what's coming in the near future if we won't get stopped. So all I can say to people is please help us get involved. Kevin, if you can help Kevin out right now, he has absolutely been persecuted beyond anything I could actually believe here in the last year or a couple of years of what's going on with him, simply because he's out there speaking the truth about what's going on. We're in bad state when that kind of happens in our country, Kevin. But that's where we are.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. But listen, folks, look, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Barry, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and I'll let everybody know what's happened once they release me.
Okay, Kevin, please keep me posted, bud. I want to hear about it, and thanks for coming in today and sharing some time with me.
You got it, pal.
Appreciate it, pal.
All right, and, thanks a lot.
Okay, have a good
day. We'll see you then. Take care, guys. Good night.
Okay, well, thanks for coming in, Kevin. Kevin had to run because he's heading to Mississauga right now from Hamilton. And not a very good day when you know you're going down there to get arrested, but that's what's happening right now with Kevin, guys. So if you can help him out, please do. Okay, well, listen, I don't know if you guys can hear me or not, but thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks, Steve, for producing my show this week. Thanks, PR, for providing the platform. Okay, are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am. I just got back.
Do you want to your last thoughts on the show real quick? What did you think of that conversation?
Well, you know, there's ways of getting around trying to be arrested and stuff like that. People just don't know. But that's for some other time.
There's lots of different avenues about the conversation we had today that would take time to talk about, Steve, for sure. Okay, well, listen, folks. That's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to People's Net Radio for providing a platform. Thanks to Steve for producing their shows. I'll be back next week again, same time, same place. God bless you and have a great week. Bye for now.